This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio.
On WGR.
Well, I clearly want it both ways. I'm watching this at bat here just now in the Yankees-Brewers game. After a spring training where they use the automated balls and strikes, I'm like, I don't know if I need this. It's 162 games, nine innings. Just, do we really need every ball or strike call to be right? Can't we just sort of live? Most of them are. Can't we just sort of live with it? But now it's the Yankees. And this Milwaukee guy comes up with the bases loaded. He batted 118 last year, and he gets hooked twice. Two pitches outside that box. I'm like, oh, if only I had the robot ump for this at bat. Sorry, Sal. Sal's a Yankee fan. I guess it timed out okay. I was worried that this guy would still be batting here when you came on if you're watching the game. Like, oh, perfect timing, right? But Yanks get out of the inning, and we're okay here.
Yeah, me too. I actually have it in front of me watching it as I talked to you, and the same thing was happening. The third, what could have been the third strike, which the Yankees thought was a strike,
right,
might have been the best pitch of those three. And I think they were all out of the zone, but actually that one was called a ball, and it might have been better than the other two that were called strikes, actually.
You can't blame the Yankees for thinking they would get it after the
right?
First two strike calls in the at-bat, but they didn't. So 2-1 Yanks, bottom of the sixth. Great that it's, you know, sunny there, right? We get excited for opening day. Yanks were first game up, and you hate it when it's like, oh, no, snowed out, something like that. Hopefully we get lucky tomorrow here.
It's going to be close to 80 on Saturday at Yankee Stadium. How about that? It's going to be, I think, in the high 50s here. They're going to be 20 degrees warmer at Yankee Stadium in the Bronx on Saturday. So that's the next game. They don't play tomorrow. That happens all the time for these early season games. They build in more off days early for the rainouts, even the snowouts, I guess, Mike, which reminded me the 96 opener was on the other day on YES. And I remember that game. I remember watching it. It's Andy Pettit, young pitcher for the Yankees, gets the opening day start, and he's literally starting against the Royals with the snow falling pretty hard around him. It was on TV the other day, and it was fun to watch.
Is that a Giambi home run to win it or something, one of those? Is that game? I'm not sure if it is.
Might have been. I don't remember that one specifically. I do. What was crazy to me was,
that's
funny
later.
Actually.
Maybe later.
So I turn it on, I'm listening, and I'm watching, and it's John Sterling on the television call, right? And they have Rudy Giuliani in the booth with them. And they're talking about the potential new Yankee Stadium that needs to be built at some point. Now remember, the new Yankee Stadium didn't get built to 2009, I think, right? So we're still a good you know, what, more than a decade from when it actually happened. I do not recall, and I did not know. There was a big push, in fact, from Sterling and Michael Kay, who were on the broadcast. There was a big push to put it on the west side of the city in the what's called the West Side Yard, the rail yard.
Okay.
And I didn't know this. And there was going to be some big facility, and then they ultimately decided to put it across the street from where it is. And they go into this huge discussion, and if you put yourself back in 1996, I would have come out of it thinking that's where the stadium's going the way they were talking about it, to be quite honest with you.
Mm-hmm.
It was crazy.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's great to have baseball back. And again, rain possible tomorrow, but we'll see with the Bisons game, which is scheduled for 2 o'clock. Earlier, speaking of baseball, Sal, we had listeners call in with why their favorite team is their favorite team. Because I've wondered, if maybe Buffalo is more diverse in this topic than it used to be, because you have access to every team, right? As opposed to when we were kids and it was the Yankees and the Mets or the Blue Jays. What I think I know it, and maybe it's more on the traditional side, which of course is fine. What's your story for being a Yankee fan?
I don't really know if I have one specifically, but you know, growing up in Buffalo, I would say this, just family members. My family weren't like really big baseball fans, but I do remember my grandfather watching games when I would go to his house, and the games would be the Yankees, they would be on. But so maybe I would sit there and watch that a little bit. But I think I had already gravitated a little bit towards them. But I do remember that, and that probably got me a little closer to it. It wasn't like he was this hardcore fan, at least that I knew of. Maybe he was. But, you know, I remember watching the Yankees, just, you know, the old like picture of an older man, you know, sitting down watching the game or having it on the radio. But it was always the Yankees. And I just think my friends around me, we are all just Yankees fans for some reason. You know, I'm an Italian kid who grew up in Buffalo, and I think a lot of times that is what happened in Buffalo, New York. You know, Joe DiMaggio, and, you know, it kind of translated, and Phil Rizzuto and those guys. So maybe that's why. I'm not really sure. I don't have a specific story, but I've always been a Yankees fan. I do remember when the Bisons switched to become the Pirates affiliate, and I thought to myself, oh, maybe I should be a Pirates fan because mm-hmm. of the Bisons, right? I'm glad I didn't make that switch. But I thought about it when I was younger. It didn't happen, of course. And, you know, but I don't know if I have a specific story. I do remember, however, people around me always being Yankee fans.
Big leather chair, maybe a cigar.
Yeah, right.
One of those deals. All right. So, you know, you and I spent the day yesterday together talking a lot about many of these Bills topics that we've been all over. The draft and, you know, free agency mostly has played out. And one big one is still cornerback, and just what are the Bills going to do about that? Still options in free agency. You have Dane Jackson. You have Ingram. You've got players on the team that might be candidates for it. And then, of course, the draft. I just wonder sort of what your guess is here. Like, do they have money to make a bigger move at that position? You still have Douglas also as a possibility. And then, you know, corner is a fairly commonly mocked position to them in the first round. One player we talked about yesterday with Chris Trapasso, Maxwell Hairston from Kentucky. What for you is the most likely outcome?
Most likely outcome is they sign another veteran to maybe pencil in there. And I would say even more so, pen if it's Russell Douglas, because maybe there's another guy who they sign who you're not so sure. And then you have Dane Jackson, who maybe if it's not, I'll say it this way, if Russell Douglas gets re-signed, I think that he automatically becomes the starter opposite Christian Benford.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't doubt if they revisit that. If it's another veteran, unless it's kind of a surprise, like, oh wow, like you went and got Asante Samuel, right, or something like that, it's probably a guy that competes with Dane Jackson for the other side. And I do think they go corner early in the draft, even if they were to sign Russell Douglas or another veteran. And I don't want to forget about Jamarcus Ingram. I do this a lot, and I'm like the number one Jamarcus Ingram guy, right? I've always loved him, and I think that he will factor in here in some capacity. It's just always been hard for me to get to, oh yeah, they're just going to let Jamarcus Ingram walk out there, you know, and be the starter. I think right now you'd probably put Dane Jackson ahead of Jamarcus Ingram on at the outside corner spot. Maybe. I'm not sure. It's a minimum deal. Maybe not. But I do think they got to get someone above those guys. And then, hey, maybe those guys, one of them still wins the job. It's a competition. And then they're still going to obviously, you know, draft. They still have to get to another 23 players on the roster. They usually bring, you know, quite a bit more than what they have right now at outside corner to training camp, which is how many? One, two, three, I'm counting four. If you count Hardy or Couch as a slot guy, you really only have four outside corners. So you're probably getting at least two, maybe up to four, I guess.
Mm-hmm. I think, I'm going to put it this way, I think I'm rooting against the idea of bringing Douglas back because I just don't like how it looks at this point. I mean, it wasn't a great season, and I think the Bills have made it known by their actions that they were not eager to bring him back. Go see what you can get. Maybe there's a number where they would do it because they do need somebody. But I think what they're telling us is that they want to find a better idea.
Yeah, I think that's right. But look, what I don't know here is Russell Douglas's thought on this.
Yeah, right.
Maybe the Bills want Russell Douglas back and he wants to do something else. I'm not sure. You know, I always wonder if the player has a little bit of a role in this. And maybe the Bills have thought, hey, you know, we still think we'll get him. There's not going to be this market. We'll wait for the market to sell on him. You know, he'll come back. It doesn't have to be the case because we're so far deep into it now. You get more of the feeling what you said, which is feels like they kind of want to go in another direction. But the longer this goes, it's kind of weird to me to think that they would have a plan to just say, we're going to draft someone and he's going to be the starter. I don't think you can have that plan. And it would stun me if the Bills had that plan. It's just not the kind of organization that does that. Mm-hmm. Yes, they drafted Kyer Elam, but that wasn't necessarily just to become a starter. He was going to compete. And sure enough, he got beat out by another rookie, right? Christian Benford. So, yeah, it could happen. I just don't think it's necessarily the plan to make it happen, if that makes sense. So I think you're going to add another veteran. I think you're going to draft somebody pretty early in the draft. And then you're still going to have Ingram and you're still going to have Jackson. And as always with these things, I like to remind people, and this goes to Ingram more than anybody, they have a lot of faith in the guys that have been in their system and program more than the fans do because they haven't seen them play as much. That's why they've been developing a guy like Jamarcus Ingram. Jamarcus Ingram has been in this program for 3 years. He's had time. He's played well when he's played. He has position flexibility. We haven't always seen him at outside corner. But it's the same thing that happened with Terrell Bernard a couple of years ago. When Tremaine Edmonds left, and it was assumed by a lot of people that Terrell Bernard would become the starting middle linebacker. There was a lot of trepidation amongst Bills fans. And I understand he had one start, was not at Mike Leach's at will. He did not play that well against the Jets that particular game. And he's a bit smaller. But the Bills kind of knew what they had, right? The Bills, they were with him every day. They groomed him. They developed him. It was only 1 year. And they said, we're comfortable with this guy starting. So I would not discount it that they feel that way about a guy like Jamarcus Ingram. Again, not necessarily even as a starter, but at least to compete for the starting job.
Right. Last thing on this, you know, you might get a call or two, or I might over the course of the next month, pointing out the failure with Elam as like a reason to wonder if the Bills would not be up for another round one cornerback. I might think of it more the other way around. Like, I think the Elam thing was probably so specific to him that there's no lesson here.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this March. Breakdowns of every region and every game, who are the Cinderellas, and which team's cutting down the nets. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts.
In terms of draft capital or anything like that, would you agree?
100% agree. I don't think it would have any impact negatively on them drafting a cornerback because Kyer Elam didn't work out. I think that was it will force them to evaluate their process and that particular position, but anybody really, what went wrong? What did we get wrong? Was it on us? Was it on him? Where did we go wrong in the development, but maybe specifically the draft process? That's going to happen, but I don't think it has anything to do with what they do this year. If they feel that there's a corner there that they like when they step up to the when they're on the clock, I don't think having what happened with Kyer Elam will have any impact on them making that pick.
It does seem to me at this point, still a month out, that there's a pretty good chance of that being the case, where there's a very live option or more than one among corners in the draft when the Bills pick comes around. Sal Capaccio on the Wester Hotline. I'm Mike Shope. Bulldog is off this week. You know, similarly, Sal, what is for you the most likely outcome with James Cook? Of course, we've talked about him a lot. I've kind of been sitting here mostly assuming that there is a deal 3 years-ish, you know, good money, but not $15 million. I kind of just expect that to come down at a certain point. Each day goes by, and maybe the odds change on that front. But unless Cook really wants to work him, like to a very interesting extent, I think the Bills would probably want to you know, quote, reward him, and he comes in at a good number.
Yeah, I agree with that. That I wouldn't be stunned, I wouldn't be surprised at all if all of a sudden we get a three-year type of deal, gets a bunch of money up front to keep him happy and say, now you're paid pretty handsomely amongst, you know, some of the better running backs in the league. And then as the deal goes on, even though the numbers get reported a certain way, it's not this, you know, complete commitment to all this big money over the next several years. So I wouldn't be surprised. I think the most likely thing that's going to happen is he's still a member of the Buffalo Bills, though. And it's important to remember here, he is under contract. Can he make it messy? Sure, he can do that. I don't know if he would want to. His agent would want to. You know, that's a different ballgame once you start doing stuff like that. But he is under contract. And if he does not show up for training camp, it's $40,000 a day, and that cannot be rescinded. He's giving up a lot of money. And he's a guy that wants to, you know, if he can have a really, if he does go into a fourth year, a walk year, he could have a great year and make maybe even more money on the open market. He would have incentive. Of course, he wants to get paid. He wants to do that now. So to me, the most likely outcome is, A, he's on the roster. He's playing. I've always seen that as a more likely outcome than him not on the roster and getting traded. Is it out of the realm of possibility? No. But the only way I think they get there, Mike, is to go that, you know, the nuclear option, which is what we're just talking about. Hey, he's going to just really stand firm and say, I'm not playing for less than this per year and this money. And I think at some point, if that happens, Brandon Bean's got to make a call. But he could still say, no, you're playing on your contract, and then you can walk, and then we see if it winds up getting messy. I think that he's on the roster in 2024 in some capacity.
That $40,000 a day, is that like a flat number for all players like in the league?
Yeah.
Okay.
I believe it is. I have to go back and look. But that changed with the new collective bargaining agreement, because what it used to happen was, as you know, it was like, okay, the guy got fined a certain number a day, and then he comes and you're like, oh, yeah, we're just going to take care of it and not worry. Can't even do that anymore. The league, one of the things that they wanted with the NFLPA was to make it very prohibitive and penal for a player to miss training camp and to sit out. And it's $40,000 a day. I think that goes across the board for anybody. It might not be the same for a guy. Now, I say this. The only time it is different is if a guy is an unsigned rookie, right? He gets drafted and he is he hasn't signed his rookie deal yet. He got drafted in, you know, first or second overall, and he doesn't show up. No, fine, because he's not under contract. But if you're under contract, it's $40,000.
And you almost never see that anymore, if ever we did. Just to ask on Cook, say he's not here, and it's, you know, kind of last minute. They'll have drafted somebody. Maybe there's another veteran. How big a loss?
If Cook isn't here? If Cook isn't on the roster?
Just to ask, right. Like, his value to this for you.
Well, I think it's a loss. I think it's a substantial loss to the offense, but I don't think it I don't think it changes their potential outcome for the season. So yeah. I guess you could say maybe it's not a big loss. He's just really important to what they do. And behind him you have a guy like Ty Johnson who can do a lot of things, and Ray Davis who had a really nice rookie year. But once you start peeling away those layers, it gets a little harder for those guys to do those things and to have the depth, because if James Cook misses a game, if James Cook, you know, on certain situations, he has to be off the field. So it gets harder, but I don't think it changes their ceiling outcome for the season.
That's how I feel too. UFL tomorrow. Interested?
No.
Not at all?
If it's on, I'll watch it a little bit, right? Like if I'm scrolling around and there's some football on, I'll watch it. So from that capacity, but not really.
I should look for names. I haven't done this just to see, like, maybe Bill's names on the rosters there in the...
Yeah, I'll have to look at that too. You're right.
United Football League. All right. Anything else I should mention? I mean, it's not been a big news day. It's been baseball's day. And I like that. Did you know, by the way, back to baseball as we wrap, you're familiar with Max Muncy of the Dodgers?
Yes, I know who he is, yes.
Did you know that there's a new Max Muncy in the major leagues this year?
I did not know that.
For the A's. We have two Max Muncys now. Same spelling. Same birthday.
Come on.
Yes.
No way.
August 25th.
No way.
Yes. Two players in the majors named Max Muncy, and they share the same birthday. Enjoy that.
Do you know if they're I'm going to look up right now. Do you know if they're both named just Max? Maxwell? My son is Maximilian.
I think they're both Maxwell, and they have different middle names.
That's incredible.
Isn't
that really
it?
Is.
It's the best. I've just got
the same birthday thing is incredible. It's, awesome. It's unbelievable.
It's awesome.
What are the odds of that?
I just wonder, what is that like to find that out if you're one of the Max Muncies or you're the older one? Like you're the major league. Your name is Max Muncy. People know it. Dodgers, world champs. And then here comes another one. Like, does that not blow your mind that somebody has the same name?
It does.
And then you get the birthday news. And that would just be, I don't know. I've never heard of anybody with my exact name. So I'm sure there is somebody, but. Not that I don't know them. Maybe if they had a sports radio job or something, that would be kind of wild.
Sweet 16 tonight. Are you watching that?
Nope. I am out on everything, so the tournament is over for me.
Wow. That's all you care about, huh?
That's pretty much all I care about. I don't have a Cinderella story. I have Carlin. You know, I'm hoping Florida wins because of Carlin Hartman, who's on their bench. But
yes. Yes.
No, it's not a great watch for me, the tournament at this point. I need something else to go with it. Different than I used to be. I used to love these nights. But yeah, I don't really care who wins. Do you?
No, not really from that regard either. Like we did, Josh and I played a game. It was called Sweet 16 Survivor, where we knocked teams out until we got to a team we'd root for. And honestly, I was fine knocking a lot of these teams out in any of them. I do root for Connections. I will root for Carlin, obviously. But I also don't love when the Gators win because I have a lot of friends down there and people in Florida who like to celebrate and rub it in your face. They have a national championship in both college basketball and football. You know, Nate Oates, obviously root for him, former UB. And then Roddy Gale, he's from Louport High School, Michigan. Really good player from Michigan. He actually was at Louport until his junior year, I believe, and then he transferred to another high school out west. So there's some local connections that I like to root for. Other than that, and coaches, I root for coaches, but not really. I don't really. It's a Sweet 16 that has a lot of really big, really popular programs. So there's no kind of sneaky, pesky underdog to root for here.
Thanks for mentioning Nate. I echo that. You know who the underdog kind of is Calipari, and that's weird, right?
Because that's amazing. You're right.
He's the 110 seed. Do you like him? Do you root for him? I kind of do.
This is funny, Mike. You asked this. You know, I've never liked Coach Cal until maybe the last few years. He's grown on me a little bit because I used to really believe that Coach Cal was all about, you know, maybe cutting corners and getting guys and recruiting and not being a great coach. I think he's proved his worth as a coach, though. I really have. And I like that. He's turned me a little bit because I think he's proven his worth as a coach. I'm still debating about that jacket he wore the other night, if I like it or hate it. I can't really tell, to be honest with you. But no, I do now. I do root for Cal now after seeing, you know, what he was able to do this year with that group.
Yeah. I'm a yes on the jacket. And okay. I liked him against Patino. I mean, that's a great story, too, Patino's year with St. John's. But Patino was favored, and he kept a star player on the bench, which was kind of controversial and maybe out of spite. And with that, I was all with Arkansas.
The other kid to root for is the kid from BYU. Have you seen this story? Richie Saunders?
No.
His great-grandfather invented the tater tot.
Well, there's another true connection to get into. We had two Max Muncies with the same birthday. We've got the inventor of the tater tots. You know, it's the off season. Sal, thanks.
You got it. Thanks a lot.
Sal Capaccio on the West Her Hotline. We have the Sabres tonight. Paul Hamilton will join me at 6. Most of today, talking about baseball opening day and asking you if you'd like to share your reason or reasons for why your favorite team is your favorite team. Because I've been wondering if Buffalo, because of the changing times, like just the access we all have to every sports team and every game of everything, that maybe we're not as concentrated in who we root for. You know, football, hockey, obviously. But baseball, maybe it's just more spread out. Because if you want to watch the Seattle Mariners, you can afford to do that 162 times, then you can do that. And it's not just like the, quote, local teams. 803-0550, I'm good if you want to share your story. We had some really fun ones in the first hour. Again, the Sabres and the Penguins tonight. This is Mike Shope on WGR.